The Book of Ruth has been called one of the most perfect short stories ever written. I guess we could debate that, but it takes us into a different world than our own, a world of strange customs and of strange practices, a world in which people lived without the things that we're used to so rapidly in terms of transportation and information. But it's a world that's very much like ours. The writer of Judges ends the book of Judges right before the book of Ruth comes by saying there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Ultimately, it's called the book of Ruth, but in many ways, it's the book of Naomi. A young Jewish woman, fearful of famine, enticed as her husband was by the reality of food up there in Moab. Yeah, it's pagan in Moab, but food's important. And off she and her husband go to live in Moab with their two sons. Spend 10 years there. There's food there, but her husband dies. Her sons meet Moabite women and they marry into Moabite families, and it must have been troubling about what the future held, but then one of them dies, and then the other dies, and Ruth can't bear to stay. Everything's been taken from her that's precious, and she has no baby to hold in her arms. She hears God's visited Jerusalem, Bethlehem, to give food. The famine is over. So she heads home. As she does, her two daughters-in-law are with her, but she emphatically tries to get them to leave. One of them, even with the example of Naomi, which hasn't been strong, has come to believe in the same God she believes in, and she won't leave. And Naomi and Ruth arrive back in Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. It's really little at this time. Maybe people estimate 400 to 500 people. And Naomi spews out her anger, her grief. Don't call me Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. The Lord has done me wrong. I went away full and I've come back empty. But she hasn't. It's an interesting book because we get no great encounters with God. We just get, of all people, the Moabite woman who begins to act responsibly and graciously and care for her mother-in-law by going out to glean in the field because it's harvest time. And in that classic little statement in chapter 2, it just happened that she happened onto the field of Boaz. And now there's a whole other story of a man who, in a difficult time, as a man of character and goodness and graciousness, in the way he treats this woman who's shown such kindness to Naomi, his relative. And we read through chapter 2 about the care of Boaz to Ruth, making the provision, giving permission to thresh, all of the opportunities she gives. And when she comes back and report it, Naomi's heart begins to beat again. She begins to sense there's hope. And for the next 7 weeks, Naomi watches as Ruth goes and gleans and brings back food and supports, and something grows in her mind over and over. And she comes one day to Ruth, which is one of those passages in the Bible where you want to say, don't try this at home. and says, I think you should wait until it gets dark, but watch to see where he is. And when it's dark enough, go and lay down next to Boaz, uncover his feet, and cuddle up against him a bit. And then tell him that you want him to marry you, to redeem you, to fulfill the custom of Israel, commanded by God, that certain individuals are to care for those who are part of their clan, and you qualify. What she does, we read that last week. And amazingly, he says, yes. I'll do what you're asking. I'll redeem you. I'll pay the price. I'll make sure that Elimelech's name is carried on. I'm willing to do that. But I've got a problem. We've got a problem. There's somebody else who's full in line. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a little suspicious of Boaz at this time, because he immediately knew that there was somebody else who was ahead of him in line, which tells me he's been thinking about how nice it would be to redeem Ruth along the way, and he knows the problem immediately. Anyway, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I do know this. There's a reason he might care for Ruth, the Moabite, as the name goes, more readily than others. Do you remember who her mother was? His mother was Rahab, the pagan prostitute who was related to the conquest of Jericho. She hid the spies and she marries in. So a Moabite wasn't as big a bad word as it might have been for a normal Israelite in that occasion. But the passage ends with him promising to do it. And then, as we have at the last verse of chapter 18, Naomi saying with great confidence to Ruth, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man won't rest, but we'll settle the matter today." Verse 1 of chapter 4. Boaz had gone down to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer, that is the one he was talking about, who was more qualified than him, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend. Sit down here." Now, this is off to the side. The writer, it's translated friend in other translations, but that's not what the word is. It's a nonsense word. Almoni poloni. And scholars say, we don't know what that means. And I think the best way of putting it is that the writer chose to give him the name that my dad used to give to him. "Turn aside, Joe Schmo. Sit down here." Because if he wasn't willing to give Ruth his name, then why should the writer give him his name? Anyway, that's just to the side. "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside, and he sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and then said, "Sat down." And they sat down. Now, the gates of a city in the ancient world were the town square. That's where the markets were set up, because people from outside would come in and bring their produce. It was the place where gathering took place. It was where all of the business took place. And this becomes now the official court, the redemption court. It calls 10 elders. That is, people of maturity men of age where they can make those decisions. It's an impromptu kind of court, but it's viewed as valid within the ceremony at that time. And he brings the man, Joe Schmo, into that particular group. And then he gives the instructions that are at that point. Verse 3. Then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who's come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belongs to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know. For there's no one beside you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I'll redeem it. And let me remind you, mentioned this before, land in Israel could not just be sold permanently. When Joshua had brought the people into the land, it was settled in a particular way. Judah had this segment. Ephraim had this segment. Zebulun had that section. And then the tribal leaders said, well, this clan and this clan has these sections. Now, the land could be sold for a period of time, but Jubilee, every 50th year, it went back and everything reverted to where it began. But this is going to be sold within the clan. So Naomi wants to sell Elimelech's property, Mahlon's property. Mahlon was the wife of Ruth. So if you want to buy it, buy it. But if not, let us know. And the man immediately says, oh, buy it. It was rare. So who wouldn't want it? You've got more land, more property. You could gather it together and make a little bit more money along the way. Land was precious, and here was an opportunity to get it cheap because the needs were intense. I'll buy it. Oh. Boaz says, I forgot to mention something. Ruth is part of the problem, not just Ruth. Ruth, the Moabite, you have to redeem her. And you have to try to raise up a family for her. And the man goes pale. And Joe Schmo has some inner thinking. If I do that, and I have a son with Ruth, the land wouldn't go to my own son. And I'd spend all that money and I'd just be giving it away. And so he says, no, I won't take it. The Redeemer said, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself. I can't redeem it. Then we're introduced to a really unique custom. Now, this was the custom of former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. Then Boaz said, buy it for yourself. He drew off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought this land, I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, all that belonged to Chilion, all that belonged to Mahlon. I don't know why a sandal would tell you all those things. And I guess you kept a special room in your house where you had sandals from various people. Maybe it was that the right to walk on the land is now yours. Maybe that's the idea. Whatever it was, the redemption has taken place when that sandal of Joe Schmo is now in the hand of Boaz. The deal is done. And Boaz says, "You're a witness to this day. I bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon, also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon. I've bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Deed done. Relationship established. Then all the people who were at the gate and elders said, "We're witnesses. May Yahweh make the woman who is coming to you into your house like Rachel and Leah." Jacob, 12 sons, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthy in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that Yahweh will give you with this coming woman. Interesting, each of those women had the rather negative sides to their story, but God had worked through them to bring blessing. So now Naomi's position is changed. Ruth's position is changed. And we get the after story. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and Yahweh gave her conception, and she bore a son. Back in chapter 1, verse 6, you remember, he described the end of the famine with these words: "The Lord has visited his people and given them food. And now the Lord gave her conception." Only two mentions of the Lord's direct action in the entire book. He's been working all the way through. But just like in our lives, there's times where we see his presence clearly, and there's times it just happened that she was in the field of Boaz. And the women said to Naomi, they remembered her coming back and saying, "Don't call me Naomi, pleasantness. Call me Mara, bitter. I went away full. I come back empty. Blessed is Yahweh, who's not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons. She's given birth to him. The Lord's left me empty." And the women who had heard her muttering and complaining and cursing are now reminding her, "You've been given a redeemer." Actually, there's two redeemers in this part of the passage: the redeemer who is Boaz, and the redeemer who is the son, who's the gift that God has given. And then this beautiful picture. Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." they named him Obed. That's where the story seems to end. But the writer does something, and it changes the way we view this whole book. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, this is written when David is king. This is when David is not just a king, but the greatest king that Israel has ever had. When he's winning battles and establishing the nation and moving it forward. And there's a sense in which we get to that verse. This is the father of David. You've got to be kidding. David came out of this nothingness, out of this desperate woman, Naomi, who had been cursing God and feeling everything had been taken away, and you've given her the privilege of being in the ancestry of our great king, the one whom God is making promises about, the covenant he's made, that one of his thrones shall be on the kingdom dominion forever. Out of the most unlikely places, God brings his people, his servants. Books don't end with a genealogy. There's no other book in the Bible that sticks a genealogy at the end of the story. But this one does. It's wanting to make us read this story and say, oh, that was a nice short story. There's lots of little romantic things. Now, these are the generations of Perez, a descendant of Jacob, of Joseph, I'm sorry. This is not a full list of the genealogy that could have been given. This is just one that's 10 names, kind of representative. Hezron fathered Ram. We're reading it. Those names mean nothing to us, but they would ring in their ears. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This is how God brings his king. But we read it, and the book has been about redemption. 23 times the word for redemption or redeem has been used in the book. Naomi needed a redeemer, someone who could buy the property and keep the family name and mean the line continued on. Otherwise, without the intervention of Ruth, the line of her husband was gone and finished. And so Boaz acts as the redeemer. But then we turn to the New Testament. And on the first page we read the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and the names go on. We have some of the names we have here in Ruth, and we get to verse 9. And Salmon became the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon, and Matthew carries on until he gets all the way to verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. A redeemer came who would save the future and bring about David. but in a far greater way have a Redeemer who didn't come to redeem our family history. He came to redeem our spiritual life. In Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, the Apostle Paul writes. And we celebrate the fact that, as insignificant in many ways as we are, to the insignificance of Naomi, we've been included in the Father's line, the people of God, by grace, because the Lord Jesus died on the cross and took our sin and took our place. Story of Ruth is a redeemer who buys someone who is enslaved and cannot help themselves. Story we celebrate at the Lord's table is about a redeemer. A redeemer who didn't turn over a sandal, but a redeemer who gave his life on the cross. Next week we come, and we'll be thinking next week about Good Friday, even though it's Palm Sunday. And we remind ourselves of the ugly beauty of the cross, that we're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with precious blood. The old song says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Father, the little town of Bethlehem was the birthplace of Obed. It was the birthplace of David. It was the birthplace of their years after culmination of the line, your own son. We come to you in his name, thanking you for our salvation by grace through him, not by the reception of a sandal, but by the giving of his life, shedding of his blood. As we sing the words we're about to sing, and as we distribute the symbols that we will distribute, may our hearts be full of wonder at who you are, and may we sing of the fact that our hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In his name we pray. Amen.